The Catra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Catra AI. Welcome to the Dump Dive. You know, if there's one thing that defines our lives, it's got to be uncertainty. We're constantly navigating it.
We really are.
And today, we're not just talking about uncertainty. We're diving into how to actually measure it, maybe even get a handle on it. We're exploring the world of probability using the work of British mathematician John Hay as our guide.
That's the plan. And our mission today, well, it's pretty ambitious, actually. We want to give you a kind of shortcut to becoming probabilistically literate.
Probabilistically literate. I like that.
Yeah, because most people think probability, they think, you know, high-level math or maybe casinos.
Mm-hmm.
But Hay makes this really strong case that it's absolutely essential for just rational decision-making.
Okay.
It's under the hood for your weather app, for understanding vaccine effectiveness, even your mortgage rate. It's everywhere.
Right. So the idea is to move beyond just gut feelings, which, let's be honest, can really lead us astray sometimes.
Often, yeah.
And move towards more systematic thinking. Hayes's point is that understanding probability gives you the tools for making better choices when you don't know the outcome for sure.
Exactly. Our intuition, our sort of common sense, often fails us with probabilities. It's just not how our brains are naturally wired, especially with, like, conditional information or really big numbers.
You know, calculation becomes the reliable alternative.
It's the toolkit Hay provides.
Yeah.
A way to correct those built-in biases.
Okay, so let's talk about the person behind this toolkit then. John Hay. Who is he?
He's a distinguished British mathematician, professor emeritus at the University of Sussex. His main areas are probability theory and also game theory, which is really relevant here.
Game theory. Yeah. How does that connect?
Well, game theory is all about strategy, right? Making decisions when the outcome depends on what others do, and often when you have incomplete information. So he's not just dealing with abstract numbers. He spent his career modeling how people should think and act when facing risk.
That makes sense. And what makes his approach stand out for, you know, someone like me or our listeners who aren't necessarily mathematicians?
I think it's his skill as an educator. He's brilliant at taking these quite complex, mathematically rigorous ideas and explaining them clearly without dumbing them down. He really presents probability not as this scary academic subject, but as a practical, almost a life skill.
A life skill, okay.
Yeah, and he emphasizes it's not about rote memorization of formulas, it's about building genuine mathematical intuition. He actually calls probabilistic literacy a vital skill for modern citizenship.
Wow, okay, so not understanding probability makes you vulnerable.
That's the implication. Vulnerable to misleading statistics, bad arguments, maybe manipulative marketing, or even political claims. If you can't gauge likelihoods properly, you're kind of navigating blind.
A civic duty wrapped in math. I like that framing. Okay, so let's get into his work itself. What's the main goal of Hay's writing on this?
The core aim is to take intelligent readers, people like you listening now, from maybe knowing very little about formal probability to being genuinely literate in uncertainty. It's about giving you both the concepts and the practical tools to use probability in everyday life.
So it's structured like a journey.
Very much so. It starts with the absolute basics, you know, what chance even means, defining things like sample spaces and events. Then it builds logically, step by step, towards more complex applications.
And how does he keep it accessible? Math can get intimidating fast.
He constantly uses concrete examples, things you can visualize. So the mathematical precision is there, but it's always grounded in something relatable, rather than just abstract symbols.
And the scope sounds broad. You mentioned applications.
Oh, yeah. After laying the groundwork concepts like conditional probability, independence, which we'll definitely get into, he shows how it applies all over the place. Gambling and lotteries, sure, but also medical testing, weather forecasting, quality control in manufacturing, even assessing financial risk.
So the real goal is to change how you, the reader, think about uncertainty.
Absolutely. It's about replacing those fuzzy gut feelings about risk with clearer reasoned thinking based on the math. It's like getting a new lens to see the world.
All right, let's put on that new lens. Let's dig into some of the key concepts, especially the ones that maybe trip up our intuition. Where do we start?
You have to start with the basic language, the foundations of measurement. So imagine rolling a standard die. The sample space is just all the possible outcomes, the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, simple enough.
An event is just a specific outcome or a set of outcomes that you're interested in, like rolling a 6 or maybe rolling an even number. That event includes 2, 4, and 6.
And probability is always that number between 0 and 1, right? 0 means impossible, 1 means certain.
Precisely. And Hay makes this important distinction early on between theoretical probability of what the mass predicts, like a 50% chance of heads on a coin flip, and empirical probability, which is what you actually observe if you, say, flip the coin 100 times. They get closer over time, but they aren't the same thing in the short run.
Okay, foundations laid. Now, where does our intuition start to wobble?
It often starts with conditional probability. This is a huge one. Symbolically, it's written as PAB.
P of A given B.
Exactly. In plain English, it's the probability that event A will happen, given that event B has already happened. And this is just critical for real-world thinking because we're constantly getting new information, aren't we?
All the time.
And that new information should change our assessment of how likely things are. If I just ask, what's the chance of rain tomorrow? You might guess, I don't know, 20%. But if I then say, up at the forecast shows a huge storm system moving in, well, the probability of rain, given that storm system, key rainstorm, is suddenly much, much higher.
Okay, that makes sense. The context changes the odds.
Let's use cards. Simple example. What's the probability of drawing a king from a standard deck?
4 kings out of 52 cards, so 452.
Right. Now, let's say you draw that king and you don't put it back in the deck. What's the probability of drawing a second king?
Okay, now there are only 3 kings left and only 51 cards total, so 351.
Exactly. The act of drawing the first card, event B, changed the probability of the second event, A. The second draw was conditional on the first. P, second king, first king, is 351.
Got it. And this idea of connection or lack of it leads to intuition traps.
Big time. Especially around the concept of independence. Two events are independent if one happening has absolutely zero effect on the probability of the other happening. Think coin flips.
Right, the coin doesn't remember the last flip.
Exactly. But Hay warns us, and this is important, independence is the exception, not the rule. We often mistakenly assume things are independent when they're actually linked conditionally. That's a major source of error.
Okay, so assuming independence when it's not there is dangerous. Does Hay give examples of these traps?
Oh, the most famous one, the one that really messes with people's heads, is the Monty Hall problem.
Ah, yes, the three door. Okay, refresh my memory. You pick one of three doors, car behind one, goats behind the other two.
Right. Then the host, Monty Hall, who knows where the car is, opens one of the doors you didn't pick, and he always opens the door revealing a goat.
Always a goat. Okay.
Then he asks you, do you want to stick with your original door or switch to the other remaining closed door?
And my gut, like everyone's gut, screams, it's 50-50 now, two doors left. But that's wrong, isn't it?
That's the trap. It feels like 50-50, but mathematically you should always switch. Switching doubles your chances of winning the car from 13 to 23.
Okay, walk me through why. Slow.
Right. So your initial choice had a 13 chance of being correct. That means there was a 23 chance the car was behind one of the other two doors.
Still with you. 13 on my door, 23 split between the other two.
Now, here's the key. Monty knows where the car is. He deliberately opens a door that has a goat. He's giving you information. By opening a goat door from the two you didn't pick, he isn't changing the initial 13 probability on your door. Instead, he's effectively concentrating that entire 23 probability, which was spread across the two other doors, onto the single remaining closed door he didn't open.
So the information he provides by not opening the other door is where the value is.
Precisely. By switching, you're claiming that concentrated 23 probability. It's pure conditional probability in action, but boy, is it counterintuitive.
It really is. It still feels wrong, but okay, I trust the math, I think. What other traps?
Another big one is the gambler's fallacy. This is that feeling that if a coin has landed heads 5 times in a row, it's somehow due to land tails next.
Yeah, balancing out.
But like we said, the coin has no memory. Each flip is independent. Assuming past random events influence future independent random events is the fallacy. Cost people a lot of money in casinos.
Okay, so conditional thinking is vital, and we need to be wary of assuming independence. What's the tool Hay gives us to really harness this conditional logic?
That would be the engine of rational belief updating, Bayes' theorem. Hay presents this as really the fundamental principle for thinking rationally in the face of new evidence.
Updating beliefs. Okay, how does it work?
Basically, Bayes' theorem gives us a mathematical way to reverse the logic. Often, we know the probability of seeing certain evidence if a hypothesis is true, like the probability of symptoms if you have a disease. But what we usually want to know is the probability the hypothesis is true given that we saw the evidence, the probability you have the disease given your symptoms. Bayes lets us calculate that reverse probability.
And this is super important in medicine, right? With test results.
Hugely important. Hay spends time on this because ignoring one part of Bayes' theorem, the base rate leads to the base rate fallacy, which can cause serious misinterpretations.
The base rate. That's like how common the thing is in the first place.
Exactly. The prior probability before you get the new evidence, like a test result. Let's do a quick example Hay might use. Mm-hmm. Say there's a disease that only affects one in every 1,000 people. So the base rate is low, 0.1%.
Okay. Rare disease.
Now there's a test for it, and it's pretty good, 99% accurate, meaning it correctly identifies 99% of people who have the disease, true positives, and correctly identifies 99% of people who don't have it, true negatives.
99% accurate sounds great. If I test positive, I should be worried.
That's the intuition, but let's run the numbers using Bayes logic, considering the base rate. Mm. Imagine we test 1,000 people. On average, only one person actually has the disease, or one in 1,000 base rate. Mm-hmm. The other 999 are healthy.
Right.
The test is 99% accurate. So it will correctly identify that one sick person. That's one true positive. But it also has a 1% false positive rate. 100%, 99% accuracy on healthy people. So among the 999 healthy people, it will incorrectly flag 1% of them as positive. What's 1% of 999?
Yeah, it's about 10 people.
Right. Roughly 10 false positives. So think about the total pool of people who tested positive. We have one person who actually has the disease and about 10 people who are healthy but got a false positive result.
So out of 11 positive tests, only one is real.
Exactly. If you test positive, your actual chance of having the disease isn't 99%. It's closer to 1 in 11, which is less than 10%. The very low base rate dramatically impacts the meaning of a positive test, even a highly accurate one.
Wow. That is sobering.
Yeah.
And completely counterintuitive without Bayes' theorem.
It really shows why understanding the base rate, the prior probability, is just as crucial as the accuracy of the new evidence.
Okay, moving from individual tests to the bigger picture. Hay also talks about concepts for the long run, like expected value.
Yes, expected value. This is fundamental for assessing risk and reward. It's essentially a weighted average of all possible outcomes. You take each outcome, multiply it by its probability of occurring, and then sum all those up.
So, like for a lottery ticket. Very small chance of winning big, very high chance of winning nothing, the expected value would be.
Almost certainly negative for you, the player. It tells you the average outcome you'd expect if you could play that lottery millions of times.
And that connects to the law of large numbers.
Precisely. The law of large numbers states that while any single event, like one lottery ticket, one spin of the roulette wheel, one house catching fire, is unpredictable, the average result over a huge number of repeated trials will reliably converge towards the theoretical expected value.
Ah, and that's how casinos and insurance companies make money.
That's their entire business model. Yeah. They might lose on an individual bet or policy, but they know the expected value is in their favor. Over millions of transactions, the law of large numbers guarantees they'll achieve that expected value. They play the long game.
So probability gives very little certainty about a single event, but almost ironclad certainty about the average over many events.
You got it. It's about aggregates and long-term trends.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. What are the main messages, the big takeaways Hay wants us to internalize from all this?
I think there are maybe four core themes that keep coming up. First, quantifying uncertainty is power. Basically, because our intuition is so often wrong about probability, having a mathematical framework is essential for good decision making.
Right. So think about a time you made a big call based on a gut feeling and it backfired. Hay would say, yeah, that's why you need the math as a check.
Exactly. The second big one is related. Trust the math, not common sense. Hay literally says the most dangerous phrase in probability is it's just common sense.
Ouch. So we need humility. We need to check our instincts, especially when things seem complex, like interpreting stats in the news or financial trends.
Definitely. Common sense works okay for simple, everyday physical tasks, maybe. But for interconnected probabilities, it often leads us astray. We see patterns that aren't there. We mix up correlation and causation.
Third takeaway.
Conditional thinking is essential. We saw this with the cards, the medical tests, Mahdi Hall. Almost nothing happens in isolation.
Right.
Being able to constantly ask, okay, but given what new information, that's the key to accurately interpreting evidence.
It changes everything. And the last one.
Probability is the foundation of statistics. All of those statistical concepts we hear about, significance testing, p-values, confidence intervals, they're all fundamentally built on probability theory. Understanding that link helps you be a much more critical consumer of research, news reports, scientific claims.
Makes sense. You can't really understand stats without understanding the probabilities underneath. Okay. Hay's work sounds like it's full of these really pertinent ideas. Any particular quotes or core concepts that really crystallize his message?
Yeah, there are a few ways he frames things that are quite powerful. One is this idea. Probability is not about predicting the future. It's about quantifying our uncertainty about the future.
I like that. It's realistic. We're not aiming for a crystal ball. We're just trying to measure the uncertainty we know exists. That feels more achievable and useful.
Right. And then there's his take on the practical value of Bayes' theorem, basically. Bayes' theorem tells us how to be wrong less often.
Simple, but profound. It accepts we start imperfectly, but gives us a tool to systematically get better, to move closer to the truth as we learn more. It's about improvement, not perfection.
Exactly. And one more, connecting probability to real-world impact. A small probability of a catastrophic event may be more important than a large probability of a minor inconvenience.
Ah, that's risk assessment 101, isn't it? It's not just about the likelihood, but the severity of the outcome. You have to weigh both. That's why we have insurance, safety regulations.
Precisely. It links the abstract math to tangible consequences.
Okay, let's make this even more concrete for people listening.
Yeah.
How can you apply this thinking, like, tomorrow?
Let's start with health decisions. We just talked about the medical testing example with Bayes. The takeaway is, if you get a positive screening result, especially for something rare, don't immediately panic based on the test's stated accuracy.
Right. Remember the base rate.
Yes. Consider your personal risk factors, the overall prevalence of the condition. It allows you to have a much calmer, more informed discussion with your doctor about what that test result actually means for you and what the next steps should reasonably be.
Okay, good one. What about money?
Financial and consumer decisions. Use that concept of expected value we talked about. Apply to things like buying lottery tickets, deciding on insurance policies, or whether to get that extended warranty they push so hard at the electronics store.
And the expected value for those things, for the buyer, is usually
almost always negative. The seller, the lottery operator, the insurance company, the retailer, has priced it so their expected value is positive. Understanding this makes you naturally more skeptical of things that are essentially financial bets where the odds are stacked against you.
So probability teaches healthy skepticism about gambles. What about just being an informed citizen?
Huge implications there. Civic literacy and legal reasoning. Think about statistics presented in court cases or in news reports about crime. Be aware of the prosecutor's fallacy.
Remind me what that is again.
It's confusing two different probabilities. For example, confusing the probability of the evidence given innocence, like the probability of finding a DNA match by chance if the suspect is innocent, with the probability of innocence given the evidence, the probability the suspect is innocent now that we have this DNA match. They sound similar, but they can be vastly different, especially if the initial pool of potential suspects is large.
Okay. Like the medical test example again, really. The probability of the test DNA match given health innocence isn't the same as the probability of health innocence given the test DNA match.
Exactly. A probabilistically literate person can spot that flawed reasoning and evaluate evidence more critically, whether it's in a courtroom or just reading the news.
This has been fascinating. For me, I think the most surprising thing is just hammering home how unreliable our raw intuition is. The Monty Hall problem is the classic. But even understanding things like streaks, like a basketball player hitting 10 shots in a row, our brain screams, he's on fire, hot hand.
Right, special cause.
But Hay would say, probably not. It's often just what random chance looks like sometimes. We see meaningful patterns in pure noise.
We're pattern-seeking machines, even when the patterns aren't really there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a core message. My final thought is maybe just how empowering this kind of thinking is. It feels like a genuine upgrade to your mental software.
An upgrade? How so?
It lets you move away from simplistic, black-and-white, deterministic thinking, where things are either guaranteed or impossible, and instead embrace the world as it actually is. A world of measurable likelihoods, of shades of gray. And having the tools to measure those shades is incredibly powerful.
A powerful upgrade indeed. Okay, so here's a final thought to leave you with. If probability, especially Bayesian thinking, is about rationally updating our beliefs based on evidence, what deeply held belief about risk or chance in your own life might need a bit of a formal review? What assumption could use a check against the evidence using this framework? Something to ponder.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.